Thank God I've been forgiven. Amen. If you have your Bible, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. It's good to have Tanner home with us. Told him I think he's growed a foot. Amen. He said he had heels on, but I think he lied just to make me feel better. I think that this has probably so far been the greatest Mother's Day that I think that Liberty's ever had. I want to thank those that's been working with our kids and those that's putting forth the effort. It's been awesome. Amen. It's been a great day. Matthew chapter 26, going to read one verse and then we'll pray. Look at verse 39. Matthew 26, 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, God, for what you've done so far and what you're going to do right now in this service. God, move me out of the way. God, I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts. Lord, if there's one that's not saved today, God, help them to realize today's the day of salvation. God, if there's one that's not where they need to be, God, if there's a backslider, God, touch them. And God, whatever's done, we want to lift you up today. And Lord, we thank you for our mothers. But Lord, you did something for us that our mothers could not do. And God, we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you read verse 38, the Bible talks about how Jesus stopped Peter, James, and John, but he went a little further. Jesus was preparing to do something that day that only he could do. Jesus was ready to have, they portray it in the Easter play. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible talks about how he prays until his sweat comes as great drops of blood, and we know that Jesus is doing something and preparing himself at that time to do something that nobody else down through history could ever do. That's bring salvation to the world. Amen. We understand that Jesus did that, and I praise God for him. And I want to show just a little bit today how our mothers went a little further. Think about it. I've studied, kind of studying on this. There's something that only women can do. That's have babies. Amen. I don't care what the woke crowd tried to tell you. I don't care what the transgender crowd tried to tell you. I saw something the other day. It talked about how many millions and billions of people that have been born down through history, and every last one of them that was born of a woman. Amen. Amen. There's only some things that only a mother can do. That's have an emotional connection with her child. Ladies can have an emotional connection with a lot of children, but I'm telling you, there's something different about their child. Amen. A mother is the only one that can love that child unconditionally. Y'all do realize that Adolf Hitler's mother loved him. Y'all realize that Ted Bundy's mother loved him. Right on up, and we can go down through history about how, and the Bible talks about how that a mother's love is compared to God's love. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 says this, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may have forgotten, yet I will not forget thee. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13 says this, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Proverbs 31, talking about the virtuous woman, says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So just a little while, I want to just kind of compare what our mothers have done for us, going a little further, amen, like what Jesus did for us. Now don't get me wrong. We cannot compare what our mothers did for us to what Jesus did for us. But just a little while this morning, let's go there. Amen. Let's look at the journey that Jesus made. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14 says this, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Jesus made a journey that only He could make. I want you to follow with me, amen. He went from heaven to the manger, amen. He went from the manger to the wilderness of temptation. He went from the wilderness of temptation to the Jordan to be baptized. He went from the Jordan to the Garden of Gethsemane. He went from the garden to Pilate's hall. He went from Pilate's hall to the cross. He went from the cross to the grave. From the grave on the third day He came out, amen, alive, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And right now is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Nobody else, Chucky, could do that. What about the journey of your mother? She went from a little girl to a woman. From a woman to a wife, from a wife to being an expecting mom, from being an expecting mom to being a full-term mom, to being a full-term mom, to giving birth to a nurturing mother, from a nurturing mother to be a teaching mother, from a teaching mother to be a nursing mother, from a nursing mother to be a worrying mother, and that never goes away. Do you understand what I'm saying? That never goes away. When I turned 18, my dad, and my dad said, you're an adult now, you're going to make your own decisions. And when I turned 21, I got married. Me and my wife moved to Orangeburg. My mother worried about me, Brother Robert. My mama was worried about me. When I got in the shootout, my mama was worried about me. When I got in the car wrecks, my mama was, and guess what? There's days that happen right now. Just a few years ago, when my mom found out that I had a mass on my kidney, guess what? My mom was worried about me. That never goes away. Thank God for mamas, but thank God for Jesus that cares about everything that I'm going through right now. It don't matter what you're going through, Jesus. I'm not saying Jesus is worried about it, glory to God, but He cares about it, amen. What you're surfing through right now, Jesus loves you. That's the journey that He made, and He did it for you. Not only the journey that He made, let's look at what Jesus gave up for us. John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says this, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Jesus gave up His Father. Jesus gave up His home in heaven. Jesus gave up His glory. Jesus came down to be born of a poor set of parents. He walked this earth. He put on the flesh. He gave up all that just to come down so that you and I didn't have to die and go to hell. See, a lot of times we forget that. We just want to talk about how Jesus loves us. Think about what He gave up. When you study the Word of God, we understand that Jesus was the creative force behind everything that you see. Jesus is the one that spoke everything into existence. Jesus is the one that flung the stars out, Alan. Jesus is the one that made it all, and He gave up all that. Angels running around just worshiping Him. Angels, on air, walking streets of gold and being there with the Father, gave up all that. Because He loved you. Y'all realize Jesus never owned anything? Think about that. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, and Jesus saith unto them, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Jesus gave up everything. He gave up His life for you. You realize your mom did the same thing? Think about that. She gave up her health for you. You think about what I just said. She gave up her health for you. I mean, that one time, Brother Tony, that young, beautiful young lady, that 16, 17 years old, that had that beautiful body. And she gave up all that just to bring our ugly mugs into this world. I was looking through some Facebook posts the other day that my cousin puts on. And this picture popped up, Miss Angie. It was a picture of my mama when she was about 16 years old. I didn't even recognize her, because all of her and her sisters kind of favored a lot. But what we got to understand, some of us hardheads in here, especially some of you younger people, you listen to me. What you see today ain't what she was. Amen. And she gave up her health for you. She also gave up her identity for you. Hey, when we first moved to Lancaster, I was known as Preacher Tim Larimore. This was known as Miss Joe. After a while, when Heather and Blake got in school, well, you Heather's mom. You Blake's dad. How is it now, Heather? Oh, you're Abby's mom. You're Aubrey's mom. You're Annie's daddy. It ain't no more Robert Lloyd. It ain't no more Miss Angie. Your mom gave up her identity for you. You think about what I'm trying to get you to understand. And the thing about it is, the mother will continue to do that for all of her life. All of her life. When somebody talks to my mom anymore, you Preacher Tim's mom. My brother's still a police officer in Horry County. Oh, you're Officer Larimore's mom. My mom's in her late 70s, Brother Benny, and she's still doing it. And get this now, Abby, Ansley, Allie, Aubrey, Annie, you listen to what I'm going to tell you. All you young people, listen to what I'm going to tell you. And they don't have a problem with it. They love you enough. Tanner, she loves you enough that she don't have a problem saying, "That's my boy." And thank God, every once in a while, Jesus looks down. And said, "That's my boy. And that's my daughter." And Jesus don't have a problem recognizing us even when we do some stupid stuff. Amen. Amen. My mom is going to always be my... I've done some stupid stuff now. I'm going to tell you right now. I ain't got time to get into all that. But my mom still loves me. My mama seen me do some stupid stuff and still loves me. Jesus sees everything we do and still loves us. Amen. Whew. Let's look at what Jesus assumed to save us. Jesus took the sorrow, took the shame, took the scorn, took the stigma of the cross. He took the storm of God's wrath poured out on him just to save your soul. Now you understand, I'm gonna stop just a little while. I'm gonna go into just a little bit of it. When we do our Easter play is probably the best one I've ever seen in my life. It's a great job of portraying it. But I'm telling you right now, we can't do it justice of what Jesus had to go through to save you and I. Not only did he leave the splendor of heaven, not only did he give up all that, he came down and walked this earth, and people laughed at him. People mocked him while he was doing miracles. The Pharisees, they mocked him. They said, "You're blaspheming." They tried to say he was a devil. And not only that, but when it come time for you and I to be saved, when it come time for you and for salvation to be paid for, Jesus gave it up. You go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. Just like I said, he went a little further and he prayed. He said, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." Amen. He said, if it be possible, let this cut. He knew what was coming, Tony. He knew what was coming. He's God. He understood all that. He knew the pain was going to be there, but he went anyhow. Amen. He went a little further. The Bible talks about when they come to get him, west. The Bible says that he stood up, Judas kissed him, and understands that when they laid hold on him, that's when it started right there. They started beating him. They started slapping him. They started whipping him. When he got into the, they put a mask on him. They would hit him in the face and say, "Prophesy and tell us who hit you." Then they beat him with a cat of nine tails. They hit him almost to death. Then they placed that wooden beam on his back and made him carry it up Calvary's Hill. and he laid down his life willingly, and he gave up his life for you. God poured out his wrath on his own son so that you and I didn't have to die and go to hell. What did your mom do for you? Think about what I'm saying. What did your mom do for you? The changes that were in her, that had to go through, she had to go through just to bring you into this world. She took the sickness. She took the morning sickness. And this is just some of the things that some of these ladies that are sitting in this building had to go through just to bring you into this world. Some had to go through morning sickness, high blood pressure, gestational diabetes, depression and anxiety, thyroid problems, blood clots, preeclampsia. I mean, right at the point of death, just to bring you and I into this world. And as I've heard, and I don't know if this would be true, but I've heard that a lady will come no closer to the point of death than when she's giving birth to a child. And y'all realize that she knew all that was going to happen. And she loved you anyhow. She knew all that was going to be there. And she loved you anyhow. And Jesus went through everything that he went through, and he loved you anyhow. He's watched you. I mean, your mama went to the point of death just for you and loved you anyhow and nurtured you and brought you up. And that's how Jesus is doing his very best in our life. He loves us. He knows we're going to make mistakes. But understand something. When that mama was teaching you how to walk and you fell down, she didn't just kick you to the curb. She picked you up, dusted you off, said, try it again, glory to God. Try it again. You didn't walk the first time. You didn't walk the second time. You probably didn't even walk the 25th time. And your mama kept picking you up. And your mama kept loving you. But guess what? One day you took a step, and now you're running. That's all Jesus wants. He don't want you to quit. He says, I love you. Keep trying. Keep trying. That's what Jesus did for you. The cost of going a little further. Now you think about what I'm getting ready to say. Were you worth it? Were you worth it? Jesus thought so. Jesus thought you was worth it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Greater love than this, that no man hath, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Jesus thought you was worth it. Jesus thought you was worth everything that he had to endure on that cross to save you. Now listen, I'm going to read you something. What is crucifixion? A medical doctor provided a physical description. The cross is placed on the ground and the exhausted man is quickly thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wood. The legionnaire feels for the depression in the front of his wrist and he drives a heavy square wrought iron nail through the wrist deep into the wood. Quickly he moves to the other side and repeats the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly but to allow some flex and movement. The cross is then lifted into place. The left foot is pressed backwards against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, the nail is driven through the arch of each one, leaving the knees flexed. The victim is now crucified. He slowly sags down. The more weight on the nails in the wrist, the pain is excruciating, shooting through his fingers and his arm and explodes into the brain. The nails in the wrist are putting pressure on the median nerves. And as he pushes himself upward to avoid this stretching torment, he places full weight of the nails through both of his feet. Again, he feels the searing agony of the nails tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet. And as his arms fatigue and cramps sweeping through his muscles, knotting them in deep relief, relentless throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upwards to breathe. Air can now be drawn, cannot be drawn into the lungs. But the air can now be drawn into the lungs, but cannot be exhaled. He fights to raise himself in order to give one small breath. Finally, carbon monoxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmatically now, he pushes himself upward and exhales as to bring life into his oxygen, into his body. Hours of this limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, intermediate paralysis, searing pain as tissues are torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down the rough timber. And then another agony begins, a deep crushing pain in his chest as the pericardium slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. It's now almost over. The lungs and tissue are filled. Reach a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood through the tissues. The tortured lungs are making a frantic effort to gasp, small grasp of air. He can finally feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues, and finally, his body is allowed to die. That's what Jesus went through for you. If you could look at Jesus right now, Talbert, and say, was I worth it? Jesus would say, yes, you were. Yes, you were. He did it all for me. And he did it all for you. Just like if you could look at your mom right now. Some of you in here, your mom's already gone to heaven. But if you look at her, say, Mom, Angie, was it worth it? Was Ryan and Brett worth it? All the pain. Bird, was it? Were they worth it? Heather, were they worth it? I don't know of a mama nowhere that would say they weren't. And I guarantee you, Jesus thinks you're worthy. And Jesus loves you more than anything in this world. And Jesus loves you more than any mama could ever love their child. So Jesus went a little further for you and I. And thank God our moms went a little further for you and I. And on this Mother's Day, we honor our mothers. But what about honoring Jesus? Why don't we honor Jesus? Story some years ago about a mom that got caught in a blizzard. And she had her baby with her, Brother Tony, and the blizzard went all night, and the next morning somebody went out and found her. And she had taken that baby, cleared a spot on the ground, laid that baby down, took her body and covered that baby and took the blankets that she had and covered herself. They found her froze to death. But when they moved her body, guess what? That little baby was there alive. That's how much our mamas loved us. But aren't you glad that Jesus will still cover us even today? I want you to bow your heads.